Hello, everyone. This is JVL here with my best friend, Tim Miller, sitting in for Sarah Longwell. Tim, it's been a long time since it was just the two of us together with no one else around, no one who can see.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. I haven't been on The Secret in so long.
It's been a while.
I feel free being on The Secret.
You should.
It's like, you know.
And we're taking full advantage of this.
Weight off my shoulders.
Full advantage of this. Because we got a big show today. Very quickly, very nice profile of us in INC magazine. Is that how it's called?
Ink. I would have called it Ink.
Obviously, these are the jokes, people. Enjoy them.
Okay. Well, I'm not a business media consumer. It's kind of the point of the article, actually. It's a nice transition. I'm not a businessman. You're not a businessman. I'm not a businessman. I think I wrote the email to our subscribers about this profile today that I didn't go to business school. This is a big piece of disagreement between me and my father in my younger years. It's like, even if you don't want, it's good to have, you know, wanted me to go to business school.
After get your college. MBA.
Yeah. Just
never goes
it.
To waste.
Yeah. It could help you in the future. And in some ways, turns out he was right. Probably could have helped me a little bit. In the other hand, like, we did well by accident. And that's kind of the point of the Ink profile. Yes. In some ways, I obviously not completely accident, but you know, that's just never been my world, and none of ours really. And yet, here we are.
It's, you know, we're living the American dream. Okay. So there's
nothing else about Ink. You didn't want to say anything else?
It was very nice. I was just happy to be mentioned in a profile of the Bulwark.
I was waiting for you to say that.
That is not a thing that happens often.
You were pictured. You were interviewed.
I was even pictured. Not in the
you
lead photo, but in one of the subsequent photos, I was there.
You guys talked about business strategy because you kind of have like taken it up as an avocation, whereas I'm like actively hostile to that. And just like, Sarah's got this, and you know, we just keep on keeping on.
I care about it so
feel like
much.
My job is good business is just kind of
your job is content,
just being
baby.
Myself. That's authentic me.
You're in the Tim Miller business, and
exactly.
Business is good.
And I want the people that are listening to the Secret Podcast to like being like feel like they can come here and have a hang, and that like I'm not going to bullshit them. And if they're in their life where they don't want to talk politics with their friends because their friends might have voted for Trump, or you know, where their spouse is sick of hearing them rant about what happened in the news, they come here. We can rant together. Yeah. We can commiserate. We can be angry together. We can laugh. We can mock. And turns out that's what, you know, that's the special sauce we got going. So anyway, it's great. I love it. It was nice. The guy came to my house even. It was kind of a weird dichotomy. The reporter is kind of a hippie guy and he's writing for a business magazine. And that's just what makes America wonderful in a way, you know? And so anyway, we appreciate the attention. It's not Barry Weissman. I have one other thought.
God.
I've been getting some texts about like, ooh, you made the framing of the headline. They're like 20 million profitable business. And it was like, there need to be a couple of words in between all of those. I got a couple of people that are like, ooh, you're paying for dinner tonight. I was like, no, we finally got to be profitable and we brought in 20 million. It was like two sentences. Like, I like waffles and I like pancakes. But, you know, we're doing, hopefully one day when there's President John Ossoff, Daddy Ellison will call up Sarah and be like, hey, seems like we're out of the good graces of the new administration. What do you think?
Would JVL like to run CNN?
and we'll say no, but then maybe they'll win.
Yeah, it's great. All right. Listen, apologies in advance to people who are listen only, because we are going to have a couple visual elements in this show today. So if you are ever like, you know, maybe I'll watch the video version, this would be the time to do it. I will talk you through it. Theater of the mind style. But we're going to start with a video message from one Calista Gingrich to the people of Switzerland.
I've not got a chance to watch this. I'm going blind.
Hello, I'm Calista Gingrich. On behalf of the United States Embassy, I wish the Swiss people a happy National Day. Today, Switzerland celebrates its independence, freedom, and democracy. Values Americans deeply understand and cherish. The United States is proud to celebrate with you as a friend and partner. Happy National Day.
Is she real? So she only blinks twice during that entire message.
She blinked twice?
She blinked twice. I'm not sure any part of her face except for her eyelids and her lips. Like, there's nothing else is moving. Everything.
Here's the other thing.
Oh, my gosh.
It's uncanny valley. It's a strange face. But here's, I think, another problem that I noticed. And I only got to watch that one time through. And just kind of, there's the shock of initially seeing kind of this inhuman figure. And so then I'm trying to kind of pay attention to have a take. One thing I noticed in just a few seconds after I blacked out was, this happens everywhere. I'm getting wrinkles. Wrinkles happen. And if you want to do Botox, that's fine too. That happens. But there's this contrast between like a very thin neck that looks like a person's neck would look at her age, which is fine, which we honor. And then there's the face without a wrinkle at all that is like a porcelain doll. And they almost barely look like they connect because the neck is a little, and so it's kind of like, it almost looks like a porcelain doll head kind of levitating over an old lady's neck.
And my thing here is not even about the lookist aspect of this.
I'm not being lookist.
The pure AI aspect of it with that weird, indistinguishable gradient navy blue background and the way her shoulders don't move and the face. All I'm saying is if you had brought this clip to me and said, you wouldn't believe we found the worst AI slop today you've ever seen and played it for me, I would have said, yes, that is the worst AI slop I've ever seen.
Well, no, you know,
except
Calista.
That it's real.
Well, you know, Calista. So I would have known it's real because it's only Calista, and I really cherish her content activations because they're all pretty astonishing. My favorite ones are when she does the face tuning only on her and not on Newt. Sometimes she'll post on Instagram and so like her face will be fully face tuned and then Newt's face is like a gargoyle. And you're like, ah! Like face tune one or the other. Please. Classic. Or one or both or the other. I have one note though. I do wonder if the video was the inspiration for Trump's new wig. Because his new hair is looking very Calista-ish. You know, it's like, it's full and stiff. And I don't know. I think he might have gone to the haberdashery. That's a hat. What's a wig store? He might have gone to the wig store and said, give me the Calista.
I think Stan Sitwell was the inspiration for his new rug.
Oh, from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had Begley Jr., character.
Yeah. Oh boy, I'm going through. Yeah, Sam Stitwell probably better than
Stan
Calista.
Sitwell.
Great point.
Got
to
stick it to her. So okay, we got to move on very quickly to Thom Tillis, who's having a book, and the cover of his book, "How to Lose Friends and Antagonize Presidents," by Thom Tillis, was released, and it's Tim, can you do the theater of the mind for the people who are?
Yeah, I don't like that you said very quickly as a lead into this, because I could have done the entire secret show about just this cover image. There's just so much subtext. There is so much psychological analysis that we could do, but I'll try to narrow it down as much as possible.
All right. Well, you know what? Hold on. If you want to cook. Just give me a moment, quick moment. This episode of The Secret Show is brought to you by our friends at Wild Grain. Wild Grain delivers sourdough bread, seasonal pastries, and French butter right to your door, all made by small independent bakeries. Everything bakes straight from frozen in 25 minutes or less, so you can enjoy freshly baked favorites whenever you want them. Unlike many grocery store options, Wild Grain uses simple, recognizable ingredients and a slow fermentation process, which is often easier to digest. You can customize your box with classic, gluten-free, vegan, and protein options. If you're looking for an easy way to enjoy bakery-quality bread at home, I definitely recommend giving Wild Grain a try. We love all of our advertisers and sponsors equally, but Wild Grain is my favorite. They're amazing. Really? I am an evangelist of Wild Grain, even when they're not
the croissants
this show. the chocolate croissants in Oh my gosh, they're chocolate chip cookies. Oh, so good. Wild Grain has more than 40,000 five-star reviews, was named USA Today's best food subscription box 3 years in a row, deservingly. Plus, they have award-winning croissants. Visit wildgrain.com/thenextlevel to get $30 off your first box plus free croissants for life. Again, that's wildgrain.com/thenextlevel for $30 off your first box and free croissants for life. Use promo code THENEXTLEVEL at checkout. Tim, describe this book.
So the book cover, like Calista, actually, it's a navy blue gradient background. White letters, How to Lose Friends and Antagonize Presidents, as you said. And then they have it's a cluttered cover. First, Thom is in a suit with the traditional Trump red tie, looking up at the headline, or at the title of the book, excuse me, and clapping. So I guess clapping at himself.
Really looks like a please clap.
Yeah, I guess he's about to clap for himself. I don't know why he's in a clapping motion. And then scattered around are, it looks like, four portraits that have the type of frame that Trump puts every picture in the Oval Office. Like, they have an ornate gold frame. And the portraits are of Stephen Miller, Christy Noem on a horse, RFK.
Stephen Miller doing the gayest pose I've ever seen, right? Stephen Miller is very, it's a very Dieter Stephen Miller.
A pretty gay Nazi post there for sure, pose for sure. And then RFK.
Who's taking a crap, right? He's trying to pinch one off.
Yeah, trying to get, he's a little constipated. And then that's Pete Hegseth drinking out of a cup. That's, I think, a subtle comment about how Pete was an alcoholic. So it's one of these things where it's like, this would be a pretty cringe book cover, but like, you could get why you got there if it was like Scaramucci, How to Lose Friends and Antagonize Presidents, and it's a picture of Scaramucci, and you're like, okay, like, this is a little self-aggrandizing and like a little cringe, but it's like, Scaramucci can sell that book. It's like, he did antagonize the president. He did lose a lot of friends. He did criticize all of these people. For it to be Thom Tillis, it just makes you wonder, like, has anyone's impression of themselves been so far afield from their actual self? And how does this happen? Like, Thom Tillis, apparently, based on the cover of the book, not just like a comment that he made, not throwaway comment, the cover of a book, like, he thinks what defines him and what defines his career is that he antagonized Donald Trump and that he lost friends over it. And he cites in particular, I assume, these four friends, Stephen Miller, Christy Noem, RFK, and Pete Hegseth.
Did he vote against any of those nominations?
No.
Ansley, can you effort that for us, Ansley?
No, I know. You don't have to effort.
Oh, you do? Okay, there you go. He voted for Christy Noem and RFK Jr. and Pete. Okay,
he made them all in the cabinet. He gave Pete Hegseth something beyond his wildest dreams. He made a totally unqualified, formerly drunken, allegedly, weekend talk show co-host with no experience, no qualifications, the Secretary of Defense of the most powerful country in the history of the world at one time. He gave Pete this. Pete, you think Pete is mad at Thom Tillis? Pete must be like, you're mad at me? Why? Or you think I'm mad at you? Yeah. What? Why would I be mad at you? You allowed me to become the Secretary of Defense. RFK, you think RFK thinks of, it's like, it's the madman. Do you think Trump even thinks about Thom Tillis at all? Trump struggles to remember his name sometimes when it comes up in conversations. Like, he did not antagonize any of these people. He put them on the cabinet. At times he would like speak out a little bit from here or there. And to me, I think this is like the psychological thing that I just want to get your take on, but that I think is so fascinating about this, because I think it explains a lot. And kind of what we were talking about the other day about like how they rationalized what they did around the Blanche confirmation. And I think it's that these guys think that kind of mild discomfort and mild criticism is like a really big attack on their person, because they're pussies. Like, it's a really big attack on them, right? And so they feel like if they do anything that causes some people in their little clique, their MAGA clique, to criticize them, then they showed a lot of courage, and that they really shook up the apple cart, you know, and that it was really a kind of
they were willing to say
step.
That the President Trump was getting bad advice from an advisor. Yeah. You know, not a lot of people are willing to say that he gets bad advice from some of his advisors.
Tom Tillis.
They were.
Yeah. Yeah. And so because he went that far and antagonized the president that can barely thinks about him and lost these friends. Were these people even friends? That's another side thing we could do if we did a whole hour on it. Because he did that, like, he should be praised. And here's the key about Tom Tillis. Because he was not praised, particularly by us, particularly by the media, by the other elites, because he was still criticized. Do you know who the real enemy ends up being in his mind? Us. He gets mad at us. Because he's like, guys, look at this. I lost friends and I antagonized people. I showed courage. Why aren't you guys honoring me? Oh, you're not? Oh, I guess I'm just going to stay with the fascists. I guess you got to stay with the fascists. I mean, what more do you guys want from me? You want me to actually do something to stop them? You want me to actually to stop a confirmation? You know, you want me to hold up a priority of Trump's? I sent some strongly worded letters. I asked a harsh question or two in a hearing.
Yeah.
Whew. It's really astonishing.
Only even Tom Tillis seems to agree that only libs have agency. Right? I mean, Tom Tillis' own worldview is shaped around the idea that nobody to his right has any, and he has no agency really either, right? It's only everybody else.
I guess I would disagree on that second part. I think he thinks that he demonstrated a ton of agency.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe that's right. Yeah.
But only how much could you have thought more? What more could you have want from a man like Tom Tillis? A brave man, a man who said no to Trump like three times.
Yeah.
Once in person.
I mean, not a hard no, but a temporary no.
Yeah.
He said a temporary maybe.
And do you know what happened to Tom Tillis? He got criticized. A couple people got mad at him. There were some arguments. And boy, who suffered more than him? Anyway, I could do a whole hour. Maybe we'll have to do another hour. Maybe we'll have to do what we did with the J.D. Vance book and just redo a reading together. It's probably what we're going to have to do.
So this is all very interesting. And it leads us to the next section, because I want us to have a conversation about Tucker and about the idea that Tucker is maybe going to seriously run for president. And one of the things that's funny about this is that Tucker has much more harshly criticized Trump than Tom Tillis.
Oh my God.
Tucker called him demonic. Tucker has talked about how terrible the Iran war is and all this. And so that is funny to me that Tom, who sees himself as having really stood up to, you know, to these guys, in fact, is way behind where like Tucker and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert are.
Right. which is not a compliment to any of them, obviously, but is I think a reality check for Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I want to have a long talk about this Tucker thing in 2028 because I am of two minds on it, but we're going to do that on the other side. Okay. So, you know, I was looking at some data. We paywall very few things, Tim. We paywall nothing you do because people would riot because your stuff is too good. It's too good. I'm sorry.
That's don't do that.
People
that's
need
embarrassing.
It. The people need it. You didn't say it about yourself. It would be embarrassing if you said it about yourself.
I'm embarrassed.
But we paywall a couple things. This show is one of them. I think it's a very good show. I think it is among the seven or eight best shows we do on the Bulwark Podcast Network.
And so it's worth the money. And we also pay your way well your newsletter, and we should charge more for it. That's my opinion. We're not charging enough for your newsletter.
I've been cooking. I don't know if you've been reading this week.
I've been reading. I read
but I have been cooking this
you
week.
You were cooking. Who else is churning out 2,000 words a day like this? It's crazy. So we should be charging more. I've been saying it, but I'm not a businessman, so what do I know? But I've been, you know, occasionally been like, I think maybe $2 more a month for JVL.
Come sign up.
That's me.
Come sign up. Listen to the rest of it.
Before I get the price up.
Join the Bulwark. Join Premium. Join Plus. We'd love to have you.